Episode 303, June 5th, 2017.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
We have ourselves a Gramps story this week. Not going to get to it yet, but I'm going to mix it up a little bit, fellas. I'm going to give you the beginning of the story, and there's a part in the story where the female in it says something, and I'm going to give four guesses. You guys have to guess which one is the correct actual answer, the thing that she said. We'll play a little Gramps story, your own adventure. That's fine. Well, I know Joe hasn't heard it, and then there's Marcus. So we'll get to that. Robbie, you have a Gramps incident, you said. Joe went to a wedding with Katie, and before the show, Marcus and Joe were masturbating to how much they loved Wonder Woman.
Yeah, I did. I loved Wonder Woman. And it isn't just because she's an 11. It's a really, really good movie. I also heard that it was directed by a woman. Did you know that, Marcus?
Yeah, it broke records for the highest opening weekend for a female director ever.
And, Patty Jenkins. Know, one of the things I'm not a big fan of is being preached to in movies. It doesn't matter what side it is. I'm just not interested in that. I wasn't a big fan of why result of it. You know, there's some other films that I'm not. Avatar. I don't cram your agenda down my throat. But this, there wasn't a lot of that. And what it was made sense. It was a really, really good film. I don't want to give anything away. Marcus and I were already being specific about things that we loved. I don't want to do any of that because I'm sure most of our listeners haven't seen it yet. But go see it. It's definitely worth a watch.
Well, I watched the Keepers on Netflix. Those are my female superheroes.
Yeah.
That dark, twisted. You know, there are people in this world that all they know about Baltimore is watching The Wire or listening to Serial, the podcast about the Asian girl that got murdered and who did it. And then the Keepers, which is about a nun being murdered. But really, it's about Catholic priests allowed to do whatever they want sexually to underage boys and girls. And that's all they really know about Baltimore.
It's an accurate depiction.
I'll tell you what, man. Baltimore, I even sent out a tweet. It was probably my most successful tweet in history saying, hey, look, let's just level this thing and start over. I mean, at this point, what can we do? Yeah. I mean, anybody outside of Baltimore, they're probably like, fuck that place. I'm not going in there. We're making fun of Detroit. Detroit's laughing at us.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and the Freddie Gray murder. We have Freddie Gray and the murder and the riots. We have that as well. So, yeah. I mean, you're Baltimore. You need a whole new, there is such thing as bad publicity. So, but watch, definitely watch that show if you want to be terrified and
I mean, the
horrified.
Baltimore tourism, it's got to be a zero, right? Nobody's coming to Baltimore to those days are over to come hang out in Baltimore.
I agree. The Inner Harbor, whatever. I mean, the Camden Yards, it's been around 20 years now or whatever, right? 15, 20.
Well, the only people that are visiting Baltimore that don't have family here are people that are trying to visit every park in the United States, every park in baseball. That's it. Exactly. Nobody else is coming here. They're not coming to Baltimore.
No, you're right. They're probably. Go ahead.
Weren't we planning on doing the Rob and Joe show live in Baltimore?
Well, no, we talked about doing a DC improv with Tony Perkins, a combination show. But anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. we were talking before the show if we were going to mention, you know, Kathy Griffin and Bill Maher, seeing that they were two principal characters this past week. Everyone was talking about, plus they're, you know, comedians, so that's sort of in our wheelhouse. But everyone's talked about it ad nauseum. But then we did come up with a little bit of a disagreement in that I don't think that she was trying to be funny. I think she was Kathy Griffin. She was just trying to just be, the shock value of it. And I guess the rest of you guys think that she was, it was supposed to be funny.
Well, the shock beheaded. Value is her attempt at being funny. That's what you think, that Howard Stern is a shock jock. He just does nothing but yells boo around the corner. No, I mean, the idea is you are going to say something or do something that is so irreverent that people are going to laugh at that. I've never even heard, even the people that came to her defense are talking about, hey, comedians are the last vestige of blah, blah, blah. I hadn't even heard the argument that this wasn't an attempt to be funny. And if it wasn't an attempt to be funny, what was it? A death threat? She's saying she's going to cut his head off. Is it art?
It was an attempt to get, internet traffic and likes and shares.
Yeah.
It was a publicity. I don't know where's the joke.
Well, that's exactly what Robbie said. That's the problem. You know, again, if you say, make a joke about starving children in Cambodia, you're like, well, why is that funny? Well, they are jokes, nevertheless. I mean, jokes are done in poor taste, but every 9/11 joke that's made is still a joke. They're still
joke involved. This is just a picture of a fake severed Trump head.
So there was about 45 years ago, I'm sorry, about 40 years ago, a plane crashed into the 14th Street Bridge in D.C. And Howard Stern called the airline and asked them if they were making a regular stop there. Is that a joke?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Why? What's the difference in you holding up a severed, bloody head of Donald Trump? No, I know you don't understand it's funny, but the joke obviously is going to be, I am going to be so irreverent. This symbol of the leader of the free world, this is what I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you him decapitated. You know what I mean? It's obviously an attempt at her trying to be, isn't humor irreverence or irony or, just because you are one of, it's not necessarily two people walked into a bar. It's not necessarily.
But there has to be something. A joke is, it's the scene in Braveheart where he gets beheaded. And then instead of Mel Gibson's head, it's Donald Trump's head. And then Kathy Griffin is there with two thumbs up. That's a joke.
I haven't even heard her make the argument that it's not a joke. I think that the argument always has been either A, it's in poor taste, right? Or we have to draw our line somewhere. And this is so reprehensible based on what's going on in the world that we can't accept this. Or free speech, which I happen to agree with. And as a result, it should be protected in all manners, blah, blah, blah. But I haven't heard anybody saying it's not a joke. It's the first, you're the first person I've heard to say that.
I don't think it's a threat. I don't think that's what she's doing.
Well, what is it then?
Again, it's just an attempt to get likes and shares and be provocative and outrageous and shocking.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter, right? What it was supposed to be. Obviously, it was supposed to be an appeal to like-minded people. And what was going to happen is these people like Marcus and his wife, who are disgusted by the current presidency, along with every single person on Facebook, right? Those people were going to look at that, and she was going to be a champion of them. But was this just a symbol of her hatred for Donald Trump? Because that's even more dangerous.
She's not right? My champion.
Well, you understand my point. My point is that if it's not a joke, and all you're doing is saying, I'm going to show you in symbolism or whatever, here's what I metaphorically, what I want to happen to our president or what I think should happen. I mean, I don't understand it if it's not a joke. It has to be a threat.
I think that's what it was. I think she wishes that he would be dead. I mean, go on Facebook, the hatred.
And
to hate our president or any president, but the idea of that if something would happen to any of our presidents, that happened, that's worse symbolically for our country than whatever a bad president could do to the country.
It's also illegal.
Opinion. Of course, it's we're not savages. You know, I don't want Jerry Sandusky to be beheaded on national TV because that's just we're not savages. So I don't really think it was their attempt to joke. I think it was.
Well, wouldn't that make it more lend itself more to being a joke if it wasn't intended at all to be anything other than pretend?
Well, how else would she?
I don't know. And by the way, now we're getting into semantics, like how you define jokes. But at the end of the day, I think it was her attempt. I know you're saying, where's the joke? Where's the humor? I think the humor is, look at how irreverent I am. I'm not just saying I hate Trump. I'm not even saying I want him to die. I'm saying, here's a picture of his bloody, severed head. I do think that it was an attempt. Hey, Robbie's laughing. Hey, it worked. You understand? It was her attempt to say, how far can I actually take this? You don't think there are pictures out there of some goat fucking Donald Trump? I guarantee you there is. I mean, people take these and they want to disrespect him at the highest degree. And that's what this was. And again, you're right that she's trying to appeal to a segment. And she just missed the mark. That's all. I mean, she got it wrong. And as a result, she didn't have her job anymore.
But Rob, you got to remember this. If it is not a joke, she committed an illegal act, period. She could be arrested for having made a threat toward the president.
True. Period. If it's not parody. You're right. He's right. It has to be a joke or she'd be in jail.
She has to say that it's a joke. I just don't know. There seemed to be zero attempt at humor. I mean, when there was pictures of people, you know, hanging a black doll saying it was Obama. I mean, that's not, there's no attempt to joke there. That's just hatred.
She should just stick to Justin Bieber jokes. She shouldn't be trying to be political. That's the bottom line.
Well, you know, I don't want to talk about Kathy Griffin the whole show, but the thing is, the people who go and see her, by the way, she has a huge following. Huge.
She's going to be fine. She'll be just fine.
Yeah, the gays love her. The far left loves her. They love her. She isn't going to lose a dime. You know how much money she makes doing her stand-up? A ton. She sells out everywhere she goes. Yeah, she'll be fine. She doesn't get to do the red carpet. I'm not quite sure why she's crying. You know what I mean? I just read she's worth $20 million.
She's totally, totally going to be fine. As far as Bill Maher, whatever. I don't really care. I mean, you know, I don't think a white person should say that word. But nothing's going to happen. He said it. And the people that already liked him will still like him. The people that already hated him will still hate him. The people that are on the fence, maybe they go one way. But the minute he does something again that they like, they'll be right back. So
I think Bill Maher identifies as a black man.
Well, he's polarizing for people to be on the fence. But at the end of the day, God, I just don't want to be doing this. At the end of the day.
He was
making a joke. And I've heard a million now black comics coming to his defense. And the reason is because he is from the far left. They're going to defend that. But it's not okay. But I don't care if he keeps his job. I don't. I mean, a job is based on, will you lose sponsorship? Will you lose viewership? That's it. Doesn't have anything to do with anything else.
He's on HBO, so it's less, you know, sponsorship based, obviously.
Right. And if they feel like nobody will watch the show now because of what he said, he'll be off. But if the viewership will increase as a result of this controversy, then you're going to see him on next week and the week after that. So, I mean, and that's everything. That goes from the Grease Man to Imus to whoever, Elizabeth Hasselbeck. It doesn't matter what you say, Rosie O'Donnell, what they say is strictly tied to, can they still make money? And at the end of the day, I think Kathy Griffin, they think, didn't make a difference. Obviously, they would lose sponsorship if they kept her. And as a result, they got rid of her. And she'll go and play the hippodrome or whatever. And every seat will be filled with, you know, the people that like her.
Howard it is Stern interesting was saying how unlikable he is to a lot of people. And he was searching for the right word. And the word he was looking for was the word that's been used to describe you, Joe, smarmy.
Bill Maher.
And that's why people don't jump necessarily to defend somebody who's not as likable. You know what I mean?
He's not charming. You're right. But it is interesting. The people that have most passionately on my Facebook page defended him and most passionately railed against him were all black. So it is interesting. So take that for whatever it's worth.
Well, I've heard the argument made. It was made by Kevin Hart on Howard Stern. And that's that because they've done so much for black people in the past, they kind of get a pass. I don't know. Then why is Lance Armstrong? Why isn't everybody carrying him around on their shoulders? You know, I don't know. It's a double standard. The point is, it has literally nothing to do with his politics or what's okay and what isn't okay, and how it has everything to do with can he continue to generate revenue for them.
And I'm sure that he will continue to have his show and people will watch it and we'll forget about this in 5 seconds. We'll never forget about Robbie's continuing to cheat in the Bachelor Fantasy League, though. Another week of you getting pretty much every score, everything right, which is impossible.
I did get everything right this week.
Yep, of course you did. And now there's the question this week. You know, there's always like 6 questions. 5 are basically true, false, or multiple choice. And then the final question is the big point one, where you're basically guessing out of these, whatever it is left, 25 guys, does this person, who gets the rose or who gets the date or who gets this? Well, this one, it's who admits to peeing in the pool. So I don't know how you could have spotted these guys and figured out which is the most likely to pee in a pool. But when you get this right, it's going to be crazy, Robbie.
Robbie, who did you guess?
I guessed the aspiring drummer.
So let me ask you a question. You never know what rookie is going on through Robbie's head. He might get them all wrong this week to try to clear. Who knows? You never know what he's up to. But I have a question for you, Robbie. One of the questions this week is, what road do they visit in L.A.?
Yeah.
What road did you guess?
Rodeo Drive, of course.
Yeah. Why? Why did you guess that road?
Well, because that sounds like the type of thing they would do on a date on The Bachelorette, Joe.
Hollywood Boulevard doesn't sound like something they would do. That doesn't sound like
Boulevard. No, they're going to go on a shopping spree, Joe. Yeah. Do you watch the show, Joe?
I mean, honestly, Robbie, here's the other thing. Robbie and I gave up on Robbie because Robbie, he literally, the person he despises the most, Dan Nine, and he literally just stole the way that he argues, right? So Robbie gets none wrong, and Katie and I get one wrong. And clearly, Katie and I are looking up the answers, and obviously the site that we had got one wrong. And Robbie's like, well, if I cheated and you cheated, how come I didn't get any wrong and you got one wrong? Well, because you're on a different site. But he, instead of him saying, I'm not cheating, he's poking holes in our ability to cheat. You understand? He's literally shining the light somewhere else. And I was talking to Dad, my father, yesterday, and I finally convinced him that Robbie was cheating. I said, you realize that right now, in order for Robbie to have the score that he has, based on everything being weighted equally, it's 5.9 million to one. That's where it is right now. And Robbie has beat those odds. He hasn't beaten it down to half. He hasn't beaten it down. He's beaten it down to even. Even. That's where he's beaten it down to based on his knowledge. And I go, Dad, I mean, I need you just to think about it. And he was hanging on as best he could, but then he finally had to cave and agree because it's not mathematically possible. It's not even mathematically possible to do it once. Robbie's done it 3 years in a row. By the way, I'm sorry. Well, he hasn't. He's done it 4 because he was also kicked out of the Bachelor Fantasy League that he was playing online. But why not just have fun and try to see how much you really know? I don't understand. Maybe it's for the show. I don't understand. But now, after this many years, what benefit is? It's also ruining the show for you. It makes me crazy. I don't understand it. It reminds me of when Robbie made the pencil. I've told the story a million times. This is Robbie. Robbie couldn't pencil fight, so he went home and he built a fiberglass pencil so he could chop people's pencils in half. This is all the way back to elementary school. He needs to somehow get a leg up. But in this case, it's ruining something that he loves, this television show.
Joe, I had someone on Twitter, and he apparently was trying to tell me this last year, but his tweets were protected, so I couldn't see the mentions. Steve Chopko, and Steve, please email me all your information on this, robmayer@gmail.com. But he said, last year I finished 3rd in your bachelor bracket and cheated because I wanted to prove Robbie was. So this guy cheated, and you still beat him, Robbie, proving that you just cheated better.
I want to see this guy score. I mean, I don't know which, well, who he was. If he was in our league, I don't understand. I want to know which name he was. I think I can go back and look at it.
Well, he said he finished third. So if you can
look at it. What difference would it make what his name is? The point is the same. Whatever. I can't. Every week I can't. I
mean, he can say anything he wants on social media.
Who would lie about that?
Yeah, who would lie about losing to you in fantasy? Whatever. I can't. I can't talk about the Fantasy Bachelor anymore. I can't. Robbie can just do whatever it is he wants to do. He'd be like, what do you mean, Rodeo Drive? Of course it's Rodeo Drive. Oh, nobody would go to Hollywood Boulevard? That wouldn't happen?
That's crazy,
Joe. No, it's insane. Why would they do that? They'd shop.
There's literally nothing to do on Hollywood Boulevard. There's no date to be had.
There's no logic. Hey, the site that we cheat on literally says there's no way to objectively identify these. It's quoted. I'm going to tell you exactly. These are the people that are cheating. I'm not kidding. There's no way to determine. Hold on. I got to find it. It's between Katie and I yelling about Robbie all the time. Here's a quote from the actual site. And
what's the name of the site, Joe?
I don't know. Katie does.
It's on your favorites, Robbie. Just look it up.
These questions are the worst, and there is honestly no way to know what the answers will be. These are the people who know the answer. They're the ones cheating for us. They are saying you can't know this. And Robbie's like, no, yeah, of course you can't. What are the other choices of the roads? And then we can take a break. What are the other choices? I know Mulholland Drive is one.
Sunset Boulevard.
Sunset, yeah, why would you go there? Why would you go to Sunset Boulevard?
It's like saying, you know, they want a honeymoon to, is it Costa Rica, Jamaica, Bermuda, Bahamas? Why would anybody honeymoon in the Bahamas? You know, come on, obviously it's Costa
Rica. They're asking this week if somebody gets in a hot tub, okay? Now, Robbie definitely got this right. Robbie definitely.
They ask that every week, and mostly I will get that one wrong because it's just, I don't have any idea.
Wait a minute. What do you mean most of you get it wrong? You've only gotten one question wrong in two weeks, Robbie.
No. I'm talking about last season. They did the same thing. Every week they asked, does he get in the hot tub with somebody this week? Every week they asked that, and I didn't know. I just, it was like a coin flip every week.
Hang in there. But every week you get the coin flip right. Hold on.
No, that's not true.
Stop wrong for a second. Rob, you want to bet me right now? I'll give you 2-1 on a 50-50 that Robbie gets this right this week. 2-1. I'll give you 2-1.
No, I think he's going to get it right. I mean, what did you guess
that on that one?
I guessed yes this week.
Okay. Well, that's what I guessed also. But part of that's because they said no last week. Anyway, let's take a break. We'll come back. I've got a Gramps story. Rob and Joe should be right back.
Hey, it's Justin from the Justin Scott and Spiegel Morning Show. You may remember me from my critically acclaimed role as Bucky in Death of a Dentist. Well, my next star turn will be in a show called The Newly Dead Game, another original, hilarious, interactive comedy whodunit from the minds of Rob and Joe. Imagine, you're in a TV studio at a taping of the very popular game show Clash of Couples. I'll have a starring role, and if you're very, very lucky, you might play a part too. You might even be the murderer. It's going to be incredible, and there's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Next performance, June 24th at the Workhouse Arts Center, Lorton, Virginia. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
Back to the 80s.
Next performance, June 21st at the DC Improv. Tickets are on sale right now. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
Now, back to the Rob and Joe Show.
So, as you know, Gramps has been emailing me directly his stories. He's cutting out Joe, cutting out Robbie. So, if you guys have heard this, don't play along. Obviously,
I'm flying blind.
Okay. So, what we're going to do, I'm going to set the story up, read it exactly how it is. And then when we get to the point where she says something, I'm going to have Marcus and Joe guess. I've given you four choices. One is the correct answer. So Graham says, I was writing the application for a new client. Playing as always, I said, you will now officially be the hottest client I have. She says, A, you should see me naked. B, do you eat pussy? C, you're officially the hottest white man I know. Or D, have you ever had sex with a black woman?
Okay.
Again, he says, you will now be officially the hottest client I have. And she replies with either, you should see me naked. Do you eat pussy? You are officially the hottest white man I know. Have you ever had sex with a black woman?
Well, the hardest to believe is, do you eat pussy to a 75-year-old man? That's the hardest for me to palate. What are the other choices? Have you ever been with a black woman? Seems like the most likely. Give me the other two.
A is, you should see me naked. And then C was, you're officially the hottest white man I know.
I mean, it goes number two. You're officially the hottest white man I know, because that's obviously just somebody trying to be, you know, clever and adorable or whatever. She imagined that she doesn't want to bang my dad, but who knows?
Right.
Followed by, you should see me naked, and followed by, because women, black women, they don't, that's, oral sex is not as big in the black community. I remember that from my lunch table in the 10th grade.
So it's A, you should see me naked. B, do you eat pussy? C, you're officially the hottest woman, hottest white man I know. And D, have you ever had sex with a black woman? And your answer is, Joe?
D would be what I would think, and my least likely would be, do you eat pussy, which probably is now, but that seems the most outrageous of the four. And okay, dear God, I hope that is not it, because I will throw up in my mouth if that is what it is.
Marcus?
See, based on the previous stories we've heard about Gramps, I would immediately go for, have you ever eaten, you know.
Seriously?
Somebody
that he met 5 minutes ago, he's writing insurance. That's what she's saying to him. He's got to go back and collect the money.
This is a man who has told a black client of his, if you don't hurry up, I'm going to whip you. This is
a
guy.
That's a lot different.
Hold on. But this is also a guy who's gotten out of nowhere pictures of naked women. He has offered sex multiple times, been shown naked bodies live and in person in the doorways. This is a guy who gets a lot of action. His odds of getting this are as great as Robbie pulling off the bachelorette, you know, because this is unbelievable that this kind of stuff happens to any one individual.
A joke, Marcus, is that the joke, or does she want, you're imagining that she wants my 75-year-old, almost 300-pound father to go down? He's an old man. I mean, that's what you think?
I think based on historical precedent, that's kind of where I lean, but my actual guess is going to be, have you ever fucked a black woman?
That seems like the best answer. I do know this. If this was a question in the Bachelorette Fantasy League, my brother would just, no problem. It's blah, he'd just nail it. He wouldn't even have to think about
it. All right. Well, here's the answer. I will read it again, and then I'll give the real answer. Playing as always, I said, you will now officially be the hottest client I have. She said, do you eat pussy?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I said, I fried a cat once and ate it.
Jeez, I would have ran out of the room. I'd be like, ma'am, I'm sorry. That is completely inappropriate and disgusting.
Okay, so let me read the whole thing. So she says, do you eat pussy? I said, I fried a cat once and ate it. She said, no, I meant, would you eat my pussy?
Yeah, no, we get it, lady. God.
I told her I was sure she tasted good.
But then if
I did, my wife would kill me. She said, you don't have to tell her. I said, she'd know as soon as she saw the look on my face, and you'd no longer be my client. You'd have to come to the cemetery and sit on my grave.
God, I mean, that is the worst story I've ever heard, and I never want to hear it again. I'm not even going to re-listen to the show, which I usually do.
Is it possible that these women, they see Gramps as a mark?
Yes. So, what do you mean, is it possible? Yes, that's possible. What do you think? You think a bunch of inner city black women in their 30s want to bang my father? No, they don't. Obviously.
So is the angle to have sex with them and then, you know, ask for money? Or is it to try to bribe and say, well, I want my insurance for free now or whatever? I mean, there has to be some angle, right?
Or maybe he's just in there just killing it.
Well, I mean, do we
maybe
really?
Maybe he looks like Idris Elba to them. I don't know. I don't see it.
How does this happen to one guy so often?
What would you do if you found they announced a new James Bond and it was Gramps?
Because if you're in normal flirting, there's a back and forth where this, it goes from
zero to 100.
Yes. Like if this was a porn movie, they wouldn't allow these dialogue. They'd be like, no, that's too much.
Not believable enough. It would be like a porn movie.
But it's like, worse because, hey, you know, in a porn movie, you now will be officially the hottest client I have. And she would say, you should see me naked. And he'd say, I'd love to. And she'd say, how about now? And then I'd say, can I eat your pussy? And she goes, yeah, that's how it would be. But this, it just, do you eat pussy? Right to that. Right to it.
But this is with all stories. All stories go from zero to 100 like that. I don't know how this guy does it. I need the book. Will he write a book and so I can read it and understand?
Is he in chat now commenting?
He's not saying anything.
He's not commenting. Speaking of, he's not going to write a book, but he did tell me, you know, my father is in the choir at church and he does love to sing. I wouldn't say he's a great singer. I wouldn't say he's a bad singer. Right. I think he's a fine singer.
Sure.
He says to me, he goes, yeah, one of the people I was singing to wants me to make a CD. A Gramps CD, a CD of Gramps' songs.
Originals?
God, I hope not, right? I mean, listen, it's nice to hear my dad and his brothers and sisters get together and sing, but I'm not buying the album and putting it. You imagine you're on a date, you like music? I do. Well, how about this? This is Gramps Sings the Hymns.
We've had this debate before about the worst thing to play during sex. So, I mean, if Katie puts on the Gramps CD, are you going to be able to do your thing, Joe? Or is that going to end it right there?
Let me tell you, speaking of that, here's what Gramps says to Katie yesterday. We go to have dinner over there. And Katie goes, yeah, Joe and I are doing yoga. My dad goes, I don't like yoga, but I like yoga pants.
Good for him. No, I mean, you're not going to make love to Katie with Gramps singing old religious hymns, are you?
No, I'm not. I'm definitely not going to do that. Listen, if my father made a CD and he was proud of it, I wouldn't listen to it.
Okay, well, if he made a CD and we sold it, you know Mac Bergson's going to buy that CD.
God, I swear to God, if his CD, if we had more Gramps CD sales than Patreons, I'd be so furious.
Hey, let's make that a gift for Patreon. We'll give it to all of our listeners, all of our patrons. If Gramps makes a CD, they can download it for free. Is that fair?
No, that you know has to agree to that, Robbie. Gramps can't make it. Gramps can't get on Google. You think he's going to make a CD? He's not going to do that. So now all of a sudden you just gave Robbie a job.
Are you going to produce the CD, Robbie?
I would if I had time, but somebody else is going to have to do that.
Who's going to produce the Gramps CD?
Well, Rick Rubin, Dr. Dre. Who is
it?
Sounds
like. It sounded like the person having the conversation with him about originally had the plans to do that.
What? No, the person in the conversation with him originally was some old lady in a nursing home, probably lost her hearing decades ago. And she wanted my father to make her a CD. You think that lady, she knows less than my dad does about technology.
I see.
What kind of music would Gramps have on it? Is he going to sing?
Only going to be old
country hymns. Gospel.
Yeah. That's all you're going to hear. Yeah.
Can he throw in a few new ones? So Miley Cyrus.
Like when Johnny Cash did Hurt by Nine Inch Nails, like that kind of thing.
That would be nice. Yeah, you could do one by U2.
So a little backstory to that story that you told, Rob.
Yep. About do you eat pussy, that one?
My girlfriend and her mom and myself and Tish and Gramps all met up for lunch on Saturday. Oh. And as we were leaving, he said, I'm going to ride with Robbie. And you guys ride with Tish. And so I was like, oh, God, it's going to be a serious conversation. No, he just wanted to get me alone to tell me that story and if he should send it to you.
And you said, absolutely.
I said, of course, Dad, we got to tell that story. And then when we were going in, we got there first before Gramps and his wife got there. So I said, hey, there's going to be he's kind of a heavy guy, balding with a beard, and he's with a short blonde lady, and he'll probably hit on you. That's there with us. And as we were walking out, he didn't disappoint. He said, are you guys having a beauty contest over here to the hostesses? And I pointed at him and they said, you said it.
Well, I saw that on the picture that Katie posted of her and the bridesmaids, that, of course, Gramps chimed in. Was this a Miss America contest?
Yeah, yes.
And I liked it, and so did Mack Brooks. And by the way, before we get to the wedding, in this story, we sort of just glossed over this. Gramps said that he fried a cat once and ate it. Is that true?
I would imagine that's not true. That okay. was his. Well,
I hope not. So,
I mean, if you're going to eat a cat, frying is the only way to go, though. Let's be honest.
I agree. So you went to Katie's niece. What is not niece?
Katie's cousin
something.
Got okay. married. Yeah, and this was a wild wedding. It was outside. Let me paint the picture for you. So it's an outside wedding, and there might be 100 people there, and the DJ, everybody's sitting outside, and they're playing like violin music. There wasn't like a trio over there. They were just pumping it in. It was going through right. a speaker. But it was beautiful. Everybody knew everybody. We were enjoying ourselves. We were having a good time waiting for the wedding to start. All of a sudden, the DJ comes up. Now, the DJ, he looks fucking ridiculous, okay? He is dressed like like if you were to go in a strip mall and they have an Italian restaurant there, you know, the guy's wearing the red shirts and black pants and a right. red bow. That's what he's wearing. And his hair is red. I'm not talking about red like Andy Dalton. You know, he's not red like, yeah. you know, Richie Cunningham. It's red like fire engine red on the top, right?
Carrot Top?
No, dude. Carrot Top has red hair. This guy's hair is legit the color of a candy apple. It looks so ridiculous.
So
okay?
it's ridiculous. Okay.
So he comes walking out and he goes, guys, just letting you know, I'm so-and-so, the DJ, and we got to a little bit of a late start, and but we should be starting shortly, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, nobody even knows that the wedding is starting late. Nobody knows. It's a beautiful out. Everybody's enjoying themselves. 5 minutes later, here he comes again, up to make another announcement. So I'm like, this is strange. Nobody's worried about when this thing is going to start. Everybody's fine. Next thing you know, they start playing the music, and down walks a guy escorting a woman. The woman is obviously the mother of one of the people, and the guy escorting her is wearing jean shorts and a cut-off Affliction T-shirt. I'm not kidding. This is what he's wearing.
And, okay. and the mother's wearing a nice dress, obviously.
The mother's wearing a gown, right? She's wearing whatever a mother would wear. And this guy plops down in the front row.
Oh, my God.
I thought this was a worker. Something happened to the dad. No, he's the dad. It's the dad of the groom. And he is wearing. And I'm looking at Katie. I'm like, what the fuck is this? What is it? Is this a joke? And everybody's laughing. I'm like, listen, that's. If this is the joke, the pictures, he's going to be wearing that in the pictures. He's going to be, you know, I mean, that's a long way to go to try to be hilarious. Plus, is everybody cool with this? Because most right. of them brides aren't cool with all this stuff going on. Well, fast forward, a long story short, apparently there was the electricity went out. And this guy, who is the father of the groom, ran around trying to get generators and stuff in order so everybody could have electricity to do their hair or whatever they needed to do. And I guess they didn't want to wait anymore for the wedding to start. So this guy had to wear whatever he, you know, his T-shirt or whatever. Okay. Well, I would have been okay with that. I would have been fine with that. But 10 minutes later, after the reception started, what do you think this guy was wearing?
Same thing.
He's wearing a tux. This guy wore an affliction. Meanwhile, nobody gives a shit what you're wearing at the reception. The reception, people change all the time into more comfortable clothes. No, he's like, this wedding has to start on time, but it couldn't have taken him that long because I saw him there. So in every photo, he's wearing an affliction cut-off shirt. And for the reception, when the people are just walking around taking candid shots, he's wearing a tux.
I would rather, if I'm getting married, I'd rather the wedding starts late and he's wearing a tux than he's wearing that. I mean, there's
nobody
no way.
Nobody cares what time prefer. The wedding starts. Nobody cares. Nobody cares what time the wedding starts. It's beautiful outside. There isn't a cloud yeah. in the sky. By the way, they have this DJ until 8. The wedding starts at 4. You're fine. It's not a problem. Go take a wet nap and put it over your body and put your tux on. And if you feel like you need to shower after, do that, but wear a tux to your daughter's or to your son's wedding. Don't wear this t-shirt to the wedding. Now, I can't wait to see the pictures. I promise you, unless I'll get in trouble, I'll share. Maybe we'll share one of these on the Rob and Joe Show page. But yeah, this guy. Well, then one other thing. So Katie rents a big place. It's near Emmitsburg, which is where the wedding was. Mm-hmm. And I'd never seen this before, but there was a big, you know, place where you have an area to put like your coats, and some people put umbrellas there. Well, in that area, there was a bunch of walking sticks. And the walking sticks were somewhere like around 5 feet high. They were huge, right? So we're on our way to the wedding, and riding with me, it's me and Katie, her brother and her sister-in-law, and her cousin, Pat. Well, what does Pat bring into the car?
Some alcohol?
Walking stick. He brought it. He's bringing it to the wedding. Okay.
Right.
So he has a walking stick. By the way, he doesn't need it to help him walk. I go, listen, he's 19, right? I go, listen to me. First of all, I'm going to tell you right now, I've done things like this before. That's going to be funny for 30 seconds, and then you're going to have a walking stick. I'm telling you, you don't want to do what you're getting ready to do. Everybody starts laughing. I go, listen, I'm not kidding. If you're my kid, you're not allowed to do it. But you can do whatever you want. But I'm telling you, this is a mistake. You shouldn't be bringing this walking stick. Get out of the car. He has the walking stick. He's bringing the walking stick into this wedding. And I am walking 30 feet behind him. I'm not going to have anything to do with him walking in there with this walking stick. Brings the walking stick, sits down. We're in the second row. He looks like Gandalf the Grey. He has a walking stick. The wedding ends. He goes up to the reception. Hey, the walking stick is the hit of the party. People are dancing with it. They're doing limbo. They're doing the limbo with it. They're doing this thing where everybody gets handed the walking stick, and that's the person that's required to dance next in the dance circle.
You could have been more wrong.
Yeah. I was dead wrong with the. Now, meanwhile, lightning's not going to strike twice. You're never going to get away again with having this a walking stick work. So I hope he learned his lesson. But my favorite thing that happened.
Hey, the lesson was not to listen to you. That was
clearly. Yeah.
Let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll hear more from this Tales from the Wedding. Rob and Joe should be right back.
Hello, my name is Rob Robinson, but you all know me as Gramps. If it weren't for me, there would be no Rob and Joe show. If it weren't for my DNA, you'd be listening to the Rob and Ramin show. Or worse, if I decided to stop at one offspring, you'd probably be listening to the Dan Ninen show. So I'm speaking to you as someone who has provided you with top-notch entertainment for over half a decade. Become a Rob and Joe Show patron on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show. Do it now so you don't miss out on the premium content and some other great stuff. I did it. So should you. Now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
So, Joe, you went to Katie's cousin's wedding.
Correct.
And I'm sure you were the sexy boyfriend there.
So, yeah, there's some pictures of us on Twitter if you want to take a look at the disparity between myself and my girlfriend. But... So this is Robbie's going to love this. This is the most Robbie move I've never, you'll hear it. So there's a slow dance, a slow song being played, and I'm out there dancing with Katie. A lot of people are out there dancing. I don't remember what the song is, but the next song is a slow song again, which you rarely hear. You usually don't hear two slow songs. You usually do a slow song. People get on the dance floor. Then they play a fast song and everybody's already right out there. And that's how it works, right? But they play a song, and then next thing they play a song. Do you know the song I'll Be by Edwin McCain? Do you know it?
Yes, I do know that song, yes.
So we're out there, and there's, you know, we start hearing this song, and it's like, all right, well, we're already out here. We'll keep dancing. I'll be your crying shoulder, right? Mm-hmm. Next thing I turn around, it's not the song. It's the fucking red-haired guy. He's doing karaoke in the middle of this fucking girl's wedding, okay? Now... Do you understand that if he walks up to her and says, I got this great idea in the middle of your reception, I'm going to start singing. And she's going to be like, I'll fucking fire you on the spot if you do that. So he can't ask. If he asks, she's going to say no. Well, this guy fucking nails it. Nails it. People are dancing. Everybody's getting out there, gathering around him. I'm like, that is a ballsy, ballsy move. But I'm glad that somebody like my brother doesn't see that. Because this guy, and sometimes people don't know their own limitations. And if this guy guesses wrong, he doesn't get paid. Do you understand? This, he has to be 1,000% sure that this is going to work. And it did. So anyway, this Robbie's hero, basically, this guy.
If you and Katie got married, would you allow Robbie and or Gramps to sing at your wedding?
I would not. I would not allow them to sing at my wedding. That doesn't mean they're not going to try to do it.
Well, what if everyone, if I could get a petition signed and everyone wanted that to happen?
Well, I wouldn't believe that, and I think people were trying to ruin my wedding, and I still wouldn't allow it. A petition? This isn't
who would you invite?
We get to make our own decisions regarding
But Joe, I know who you would have at your wedding, and all your friends and all your family would want Robbie and Gramps to sing.
Well, you're wrong about the Robbie part. You're wrong.
Well,
the
Gramps
part, yes. They're not going to want Robbie to do the bad time. Well, they might. If I'm being honest, they might.
But you don't think Tim's going to want that?
No, he is. But the point is that half of the family is not mine. They're not going to get why Robbie's out there singing this song. They're not going to get that. That's not going to be funny to them. They're like, who is this guy? We paid a band or a DJ to be here to play good music, and this guy's now singing a 20-year-old song and butchering it. Do we have to hear this?
Well, maybe he would sing another song. Maybe he would take a request. Robbie, you can sing more than one song, can't you?
Of course.
Yeah. I think it would be lovely. I mean, to have your brother and your father singing to you, you and your bride, that sounds romantic.
Well, you do understand that the first thing is I would be against it. However, you also have to understand that these choices are always made by the bride.
Yeah, I can get Katie to say yes.
No, you can't. I'm telling you right now, you can't. Especially with Robbie cheating in the Bachelor Fantasy League. Katie loves Robbie, but that infuriates her. So if he stops cheating, he's got a much better shot at singing at the wedding.
Can we ask her right now? Because I don't believe you, Joe.
Yeah. And
I mean reception,
Joe. I mean reception, not a part of the actual wedding ceremony, but the reception.
No, I understand Robbie's not going to be singing as part of the he's not, it's not in our vows, the bad touch. I assumed it was at the reception. It's obviously a hard no at the wedding.
We're not going to make a mockery of
the wedding. We're not going to have Tommy Sabato officiate.
Sometimes there is singing at an actual wedding.
Yeah, I see that.
Right, but not the bad touch. There's never been, we're not getting married on a roller coaster, okay? We're real people.
I could sing the wedding song.
Yeah. Well, you'll Gramps to sing read something from the Bible at your actual ceremony, right?
Are you implying that reading something from the Bible is the same as Robbie singing the bad touch?
No,
by the way, Katie just texted me.
I'm working up to it.
Katie just texted me, absolutely not. Okay, yes, Gramps can read something from the Bible. Okay, continue. I'll let you know where the line is drawn. So far, we're good.
Are you concerned that Gramps will make a comment about how hot somebody looks at the wedding?
Well, of course I'm concerned. I mean, it happens every single time. I'm a human.
Are you allow Gramps to give a speech?
Of course, I'll allow Gramps to give a speech. Yes, he's not going to do that there. It's at the reception where the dancing is going on where that's going to happen, not during the wedding or in the beginning. Gramps is good at that kind of stuff.
Would I be allowed to be in the wedding party if I had a braided ponytail 3/4 of the way down my back?
Yeah, he did. He's done it before. That happened before.
At the other wedding.
What if, how much money, Joe? You have your wedding ceremony, the actual ceremony, you have the typical things you have. Let's say Gramps reads a passage from the Bible. Then I get up there and we have a wheel that's going to spin and I'm going to read whatever Gramps story comes up.
No, you can't do that.
I'm just going to read it out as is.
You can't. There's other people and grandparents there.
How much money?
Oh, for you to be able to do that?
Yes.
Wow, it's going to be a lot because people will be offended.
What and you have you to pay off Gramps, too, because he's not going to want some of those stories told there.
Oh, yeah.
I won't say it's from Gramps.
I have an anonymous story about somebody in this room who sells
insurance for a client.
All right, Katie, just a minute. Hold on. This is important. Here's Katie's text. If Robbie admits to cheating, he can sing the bad touch at the rehearsal dinner.
Well, there you have it. So how much for me to get up there and say, well, playing as always, I said, you will now be officially the hottest client I have. She said, do you eat pussy? Yeah. I said, I fried a cat once and ate it. Enjoy your nuptials.
Well, basically, you have to say how much to ruin your wedding. How much to ruin it?
No, it'll happen early. Things can happen after. People will forget it.
Well, my price is a lot lower than Katie's, but, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, Katie will be the one who has to come up with that figure. So she's texting me right now. She said Eric Woodworth is the only one allowed to sing at her wedding. So I'm on board with that as well. Depends on what song. She's saying that now. But, you know, I mean, but yeah, if she gives me a figure, I will read it on the air. But it's not mine. If it was up to me, I mean, still, I mean, it's really not me. Gramps is going to be the one who's going to be embarrassed by it, not me.
Right. All right. What if I read a chapter from Dan Ninen's book?
I mean, here's the deal. Like, I would let you do that for a very low price, but it's not going to go well. You know what I mean? No, it's one of these things where you start investing and then now what? Although they're very short chapters, you might do well. Are you just going to read colleges off Stetson University?
I'll pick a better
Long Beach State.
All right. How concerned would you be? Rank the people that you know you'd be most concerned with giving a toast at the wedding reception.
Okay. Number one, Justin Schlegel. Number two, Eric Woodworth.
Yeah, these are strong choices.
Three, that would be at the wedding. See, they have to be at the wedding.
Right. Like,
there's other people that would. Right, right. Three, Tim Moran. Four, I guess, would be Tommy, and then after that, I wouldn't be super concerned after that.
Okay.
Does your father-in-law somehow fit on that list?
So I got a great story about my father-in-law. Good. By the way, Katie says $25K to say pussy at the reception. $25K.
Deal. We'll start the GoFundMe.
We go to leave the for the weekend. The wedding, it's the next day. We wake up. We had a great time. We're driving. We're going to go have breakfast together. Myself, Katie, her brother, her sister-in-law, and her mom and dad. And we're at this little place. It's this little coffee shop. Her brother's really good at finding these little, like, hipstery kind of, you know, hip little hole-in-the-wall places to eat. Okay, so we're having breakfast at this little coffee shop. And they also have music there, you know, guitar acts, things like that, right? So we go to sit down. And I look, and Katie's dad goes, wow, that's weird. Look, they got live acts here. He goes, wow, look who's here on July 30th. He has gone to his car. I don't know how he has this. He has a white sticker. He writes Joe Robinson on it. He vandalizes this. I mean, it's not like they printed out 100 of these. This is only for this one location for this coffee shop. And it's for the acts that are there. It's not like they have 10 of these. They have one. It's on the wall, and he's put Joe Robinson on the sign permanently. It's not coming off. If you rip it off, the paper's going to come off. So he literally wrote Joe Robinson and stuck it up on there. That place was called, maybe Katie will remember, but that's and now I guess I have to perform there July 30th.
Well, you should just show up. Say, what are you talking about? I'm right there. Yeah,
I'm on there. It looks like somebody.
Do you think the person that's supposed to be there, when he sees that, he's going to Google Joe Robinson? Is he going to think that it's the Australian guitar player that's been on our show? Or is he going to think it's 98 Rocks Joe Robinson?
Well, don't think I didn't think about that. If you Google, it's weird. If right, it depends on obviously where you Google. But if you Google Joe Robinson here locally, then the first thing that comes up is Joe Robinson comedian. Now, you know what the second thing that comes up is?
Tom Arnold.
Joe Robinson's girlfriend. Yeah. And that's because when I'm on 98 Rock, they're always talking about it. Everybody's Googling to see what she looks like. But they're not going to be mad at her dad. They don't know who her dad is. They're going to be mad at the guy who vandalized their sign. Everybody's going to be mad. The club's going to be mad. They got to get a new sign made. The person who's supposed to perform there is going to be mad. They're going to be mad at me. If there is somebody to see, of course it is. If there's someone there that somebody likes to see, oh, that's a local guitar act. I really like that guy. They're not going to know. They see Joe Robinson penciled in on there. July 30th.
Anything else? I feel like we have some other things.
Facebook. I have one other Gramp story, another karaoke Gramp story that he told me, which I think is pretty hilarious. We have a cousin, my brother and I, our cousin's name is Steve, and I'm not going to really... If you look at the pictures of him on Facebook, and I'm not on Facebook anymore, but I'm sure he's Robbie's Facebook friend, and he is a very scary looking guy on Facebook. Wouldn't you agree, Robbie?
Yes.
He has a tattoo that says "Fuck the World" on it, and it's a globe with a middle finger on it. It's about the size of a softball, right? And he looks like a guy you wouldn't want to necessarily mess with. But my father was talking about them having karaoke at my aunt's house when they were in West Virginia.
Yes.
And there was a girl, apparently she sang like a songbird, but the reason that I mention her is not because of what a great singer she is, it's that she has epilepsy. And my cousin Steve thought it would be funny to set off fireworks while she was performing.
Oh, God. Did she react poorly?
She did not have a seizure, but I did think that's the kind of joke. That's like cutting Donald Trump's head off and holding it up. That's a similar, a similar joke.
The Kathy Griffin of your family. That's right. I'm on a little unfriending streak here on Facebook. I am right. I had actually reached my 5,000 limit, and you know, I don't mind being close to that, but I want to have room to just be able to add people. For example, I went on, I had a great time going on with Kirk and Marianne, Kirk McEwen of 98 Rock, just added this past in May, Marianne Sirk. She's a comedian out of New York and LA, and she was doing radio up in, I think, Rochester. And she's now on the afternoon show. It's their show together, and I went on with them. And I wanted to add her on Facebook, but I was right at 5,000. And so I unfriended a guy just out of stupidity. It was actually on Mike Finazzo's page. You know, I know we talked about last week about Tiger Woods and the fall from grace and all that. And so Mike, we're having the conversation that a lot of people had when the Tiger Woods thing happened with the DUI. Is this the biggest fall in sports history in terms of him going from dominant to this, you know, sad, almost laughing stock? And somebody on that page was arguing that it's not a downfall at all. That like he's never been better. This is literally the quote. Like everything, he's never been better.
He can't.
Things are going great for him in every way.
Every endorsement. He doesn't have video games. He doesn't have Buick. He lost the adoration of millions of people, and he's like, it's exactly the same. There's no difference.
Yes. He says it happens to every player. You lose a little bit, but he's doing great in every way imaginable. So I'm like, this wasn't one statement. I kept questioning him, and he kept giving more. I was like, I can't have this person in my life. I mean, this is just so, we're arguing if this is the greatest fall in history. You don't think it's a fall. It's like, so I can't. So just unfriending. So that's just a meaningless thing. But now I'm on the lookout. Like, you know, we have the Cosby trial this week, and I think that's going to be a lot of, I already unfriended someone today for the, you know, he wanted to buy NBC. Have you heard this conspiracy that he tried to buy NBC, and the powers that be didn't like that, and so then all these accusations came out of nowhere to let him know you better not be trying to buy NBC, which is a weird conspiracy theory because, you know, if you don't want to sell something to someone, you just don't sell it to them.
Yeah, you just say no, I'm not. It's not for sale. It's as simple as that.
Exactly. So I'm like, I saw someone say that. I'm like, you know what? Boom, unfriending. So be on the lookout, people. I'm coming for you.
It makes me think about the Keepers again, where these people are being accused of being profiteers, right? And I thought about this. If there was a principal in my middle school that was serially raping kids while I was there, and I found out that I could get $25,000 to publicly say I was raped, I wouldn't do it. You understand? I wouldn't do it.
No.
I mean, they just think that people are just willing to go ahead and put themselves in this kind of light for whatever. Doesn't matter. They really think that people are going to risk. By the way, if you set up a conspiracy to frame someone as a serial rapist, you're going to jail.
Yeah. Yeah. And
you can't just do that and be like, you got me. Okay, buy the network.
Right.
It doesn't work like that.
No, there's not only is there no money in framing a rich and powerful person, you have everything to lose. Look, we all know I did Heart of the City with Kevin Hart. If I say that he did something sexually, you know what happens to me? My career's over. My comedy career is done. I'm getting sued for slander. I'm losing money. This show's over. You're not doing this for the money. Because if you're doing it for money, this is a horrible way to lose all your money, just to make up something. You want to fuck with a rich, powerful man who has unlimited resources and friends and did you make something up? You're going to get slaughtered. I mean, you would never do that.
Do you know why I know 9/11 wasn't some great conspiracy that's different than what we're led to believe?
Why?
Because it wasn't done by one person. As soon as a second person is involved, as soon as a third person is involved, this idea of hundreds of people keeping these things a secret, what do you know about the world? That doesn't happen. It doesn't. As soon as you tell one person, there's a video of you fucking Ray J. That's not how the world works. You can't keep this shit to yourself.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So I'll probably be going through a big... By the way, I won't unfriend you if we disagree on something. That's completely fine. But you can't be an idiot about it. You have to have some logic. You can like or dislike whatever you want. But if you think that... 100 women got together because someone at NBC paid them to say that Bill Cosby was raping them so they wouldn't have to sell. By the way, NBC's not, you don't just buy it. It's not an Outback Steakhouse chain. You know, that one person doesn't buy a billion-dollar company. I mean, if that's what you really think, then you're really not smart enough to basically add anything to this world or to my Facebook page, damn it. So be on the lookout.
Can I say one more thing?
Yes.
If you are a listener and you have ever said, it's just my opinion, or everyone is entitled to their opinion, you stop listening. I no longer want you as a patron or a listener.
Yes.
It makes me nuts, the idea that, by the way, if you are supporting your opinion with anything, then it's subject. That's the way it works. If you are defending your opinion, then that defense of your opinion is subject to my alternative way of thinking. You can't argue for 10 minutes and then say, hey, it's just my opinion. I'm entitled to it. Nobody's saying you're not entitled to an opinion. And that makes me nuts. Clearly, everyone is entitled to an opinion. As soon as you try to qualify it, people get to refute that. The idea that you are allowed to think anything you want without anyone testing you, especially in the middle of the debate, that makes me nuts. So I always say that I hear it, I read it all the time, I hear it all the time. No one is saying that you're not entitled to an opinion. You're not. You know, Nickelback is one of the biggest bands in the world. Do you know that?
I do.
Okay. Everyone is entitled to their opinion. Well, Nickelback fucking sucks. Okay?
Well, that's your opinion.
No, I totally agree with you. And the other thing I hear a lot with the Cosby thing is, whatever happened to innocent until proven guilty? What do you mean, whatever happened? He's not in jail. Everyone knows he's guilty and he's walking around free because innocent till proven guilty is the law of the land. So this is the perfect example of it.
Yeah. And shoots the guy next to you with a gun. I have to say, I think that guy's innocent until the jury says that he's guilty.
Exactly.
No, we are not the court of law. We get to insinuate or decide, or we get to have whatever decision we want based on the facts that we've been provided. Right. We also could change our minds. But that makes me crazy too. Innocent until proven guilty is the only thing that is only considered when you are in a courthouse or a legal matter. It has nothing to do with how I feel about anything.
Yeah, and if anyone who says that and you go on their page, you don't think they have an opinion? They didn't have an opinion on George Zimmerman. They don't have an opinion on Donald Trump if he's treason. And by the way, I've actually seen people say, is innocent until proven guilty. These women have conspired to frame him. Well, that's a crime, conspiring. So then are they innocent until proven guilty? No, it's like, God, he's a rapist. Move on. Go to prison. The priests and the keepers, the rapists. Why can't everyone just agree and be against rape? One last thing. I said this sort of as a joke. But to prove my point, and someone followed up, I said it's probably gonna lose a lot of friends, but I'm against beheading. And then of course someone took issue with that. yeah. Actually, a listener of our show, Mr. Trip Affleck, who love you for listening. You're a very passionate political person. I think you're a little crazy, but you listen to our show, and that's the most important thing to me. But that was sort of my
He's the one who took issue with that.
Exactly. Which I said
clearly you were being exactly hilarious. I got you.
Right. Yeah. That was, you know, that's 2017 in a nutshell. I say I'm anti-beheading and someone takes issue with it. I'm going to be in Syracuse this week at the Funny Bone this Thursday to Sunday. Sunday night, we're doing the murder mystery. Tommy, Kim Ambrose, Eric Woodworth coming up to join me, plus some locals. It's Thursday headlining. Friday, hanging out with Rob Schneider and his friend who's featuring. So I'm emceeing. So go from headline to MC. Big drop off. But check it out. Of course, we're getting close to DC Improv June 21st, June 24th, Lorton Workhouse Arts Center, and July 1st, The Bright Box, all murder mystery, dielaughingproductions.com. Good show, guys.
It was good. Particularly me.
Yeah, you're okay.
That's your opinion.
Thank you.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.